broadcasting station. Buckle up. The Wildcat Drive starts now. Lines are open at 859-381-1313. Now, here's Matthew and Jimmy.
Welcome in, Wildcat Drive. Wednesday, May 20th. In case you, it's 4.02 p.m., and in case you didn't know that yet, for the whole day. Hi, Jimmy.
Oh, hello, Matthew.
Oh, hello, Jimmy. Hello, AJ. I'm assuming AJ's there. Hello, AJ.
Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, hi. Hope you're doing okay. We're on a couple minutes late today because our Cincinnati Redlegs, the game just ended. Literally, like 3 minutes ago. They should know they're cutting it awful close to our show, Jimmy.
I was watching, you know, the end of the game, and I'm like, oh, if the Phillies try to make this a game, we might just be here in the studio watching.
Yeah, but they didn't make it a game. What was the final score?
9-4 Reds, thanks to a couple insurance runs in the top of the ninth by Sal Stewart.
Ah.
Maybe he's finding it again. Don't let Sal get hot. It's what everyone's saying.
I think that's what Emilio San Martin said to us the other day.
Yeah. Weather's starting to heat up.
Yeah. This is the same Phillies that were 15-4, right? When we started our series with them under Don Mattingly?
Correct.
Yeah.
So now they're 16-5.
Huh. Okay. Well, you know what I always say about Major League Baseball. Any road win is a good road win. No, is a good win, not a good road win. I don't know why I messed that up because I always say it, don't I?
You do. Almost every day.
Almost. About some road team if they win a game. This is going to be quite a show today on Wildcat Drive. At 4:30, our friend Ben Roberts of the Herald Leader and Kentucky.com will join us. And we always talk with Ben about maybe this is a time for you to take a little time off, maybe because he covers Kentucky basketball, for goodness sake. And once Tyron Stokes said he wasn't coming here, there's nothing else to talk about, right?
We hit our daily quota now with the Tyron Stokes reference.
It has to, once
it, it does.
Up until the next 4 months, up until basketball. Anyway, of course, the thing we're all waiting for, and this will get into our guest at 5 o'clock, because I just read something Dylan Brake posted on his Twitter account. We're waiting for Malachi Moreno. Well, it seems like some people think this decision may be closer than 11:59 next Tuesday.
Oh.
And it's good for Kentucky. That's what I'll say. As a little tease. So we'll speak with Dylan Brake at 5 o'clock, who his Twitter account is just unbelievable. The amount of work, he's the national recruiting analyst and scout and co-founder of Next Nation, and it's the Bleed B Network. Big Blue Dylan. He has been covering all of this EYBL sessions in Memphis and all these 2027 and 28 prospects and what Kentucky's doing. And then I happened to look yesterday, Kentucky made another offer to a 2027 four-star center. Wow. About him. We'll ask Dylan about Louis Uvuo. All right, I'm just going to say this. He reposted Connor Sturgill. some strong sources close to the Malachi Moreno decision say that he is leaning towards returning to UK with a little boost to his NIL offer. Nothing is confirmed, but the rumor mill is swirling. And then there were the two sets of eyes.
Yeah.
That we saw yesterday from Malachi. I'm just saying that's better than saying the rumor mill is saying he's staying in the draft, right?
Yeah, but we also know all about rumor mills. And who is at the helm of whichever rumor mill that you're looking at?
His agent.
Yeah. And what have we seen again with the how many recruits have come here where we heard rumors like, oh, no, the visit was going great.
Come on, Jimmy. I'm just trying to be positive. You guys always tell me I need to be more positive, and I do it once, and you're clapping back at me.
Oh,
is that the right phrase?
That is. Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm looking to see. I just thought it was funny that I just looked up Malachi Moreno. Just Google, just to see what comes up. USA Today posted their NBA mock draft 14.0. They have done 14 mock drafts. You should not be allowed. Stop. It's too much. You can't do 14. I'll give you four, maybe five. We don't need 14 different mock drafts.
I go nuts when Mel Kiefer 2.0 comes on.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? I guess slow time for basketball. They got to get, they got to crank out the articles. So, hey, let's just change one draft pick and call it 13.0. Yeah, we'll change one more. We'll call
All right. Well, let me just say this. Here we are on a huge show on the ESPN radio network, and you just brought it up.
Yeah. So I guess that's why.
So there you go. So Ben Roberts at 4:30, Dylan Brake at 5. How about this, Jimmy? Now you and Sean are the two big wrestling guys. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, I would of the people in the building, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
At 5:30, Ricky Saints is going to join me and Jimmy. And if you don't know who Ricky Saints is, I don't know where you've been.
The Crescent City Charmer? Yeah.
There are so many things I have to ask him. I don't think we have enough time. He is going to be speaking with us because the day after tomorrow, which would be Friday, the 22nd of May, at, I believe, 7:30 p.m., right across the street from our studio here on Main Street, at Rupp Arena, it will be, can you announce it, Jimmy, with one of your voices?
WWE SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which is now on Netflix. Well, Joe Tessitore on the calls.
Oh, my fave. Really, Netflix is in sports now? I hadn't realized.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that. Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that. That's sarcasm, people, for those of you that don't understand. There are so many things to talk about with Ricky Saints. His seemingly meteoric rise to the WWE. I mean, there's a big deal being made about this guy.
Yeah. And for a lot of these wrestlers, I don't know if, I mean, most people probably don't understand that, like, you don't just end up in the WWE. Some guys do, but
yeah,
he's been grinding on this for over a decade.
It is, if you Google him and just look, I'm telling you, it's pages of everything he's been through to get to Rupp Arena this Friday night for WWE SmackDown. I was amazed, actually. I had no idea.
Yeah.
The different levels of pro wrestling, it's like it isn't even like single A baseball to the majors. It's like below that where he started.
Yeah.
And it was a little over a year ago, he made it to the he signed with WWE. I had to ask Jimmy what this was. NXT, which is the level right below the WWE.
Yeah, you're not on the main roster. Yeah.
Right. And he's made quite the splash. And then, thanks to Jimmy, I didn't realize this either, he's also an actor. And here's the thing. I watched the scene. He was a guest star on a show called Wild Cards, which is, I believe, on the CW. It's a cop show. It's pretty good. And he was good. I watched one of the scenes that he was in. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I didn't, you know, okay, these wrestlers are, don't say this when he's on the show, Jimmy. They're all actors.
Well, yeah, they're performing.
I mean, it's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult athletic entertainment.
Yeah.
Because what they all do is insane. It's just insane. I can't wait to talk to him. I know you can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Either. Especially, like you said, I could just nerd out because him and I were almost the same age. He's a couple months older than me. So we grew up in the same era of wrestling. He carried it on, and he's living out the dream that every 35-year-old dude it wishes they had. Like, he's living all of our dreams.
If people could see your face just talking about it like that, they would understand how excited you just got.
Yeah, so
you're kind of living through him right now, I think.
Yeah, I am.
Is what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our show for today. Ben Roberts, Dylan Brake, and Ricky Saints. Now, one of the things that we're going to ask Ben Roberts about is something that we found out about just a little while ago. And we think, as we said before, with Kentucky basketball, unless they signed somebody in the portal or Malachi says that blah, blah, blah. Well, something else came out only a couple hours ago, actually. You know that series that we signed to do for, I believe, 6 years with Gonzaga?
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Canceled.
Oh, no.
Canceled. Mutually agreed upon.
Ah.
Now. Just announced the two programs mutually agreed to discontinue the series with 2 years remaining. Cal signed this deal, and we'll talk with Ben about a lot of this because the schedule Mark Pope inherited is a pretty daunting one, made more daunting now by how good the SEC is. Some ridiculous number of top 25 teams we're going to have to play this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's every sport now. We've been going through it with Kentucky baseball, which we'll get into that, unfortunately, in a couple minutes.
Oh, boy.
Kentucky football, obviously, the SEC. May not still be king. The Big Ten would have some words about that with back-to-back national championships. But just like every sport in the SEC now, you can't complain about your schedule because everyone's complaining about their schedule. Like, if everyone's got a tough schedule, then just deal with it, you know?
What else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to say? I don't want to play them. They're too good.
Yeah. It's the world we're in now.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Anyway, so we've played four of those games. Gonzaga beat us three times in the 4 years. Mark Pope's first year, we beat them. And that was an incredible game, that game, as I recall. I want to say we beat them in overtime. We were down big and came back and beat them something like 89-88. Boy, if I'm right about this, that'll be amazing. Maybe our research department could figure that out. All right. Jimmy just mentioned it. On yesterday's show, we were on the air giving updates about our University of Kentucky baseball team in the first round of the SEC tournament playing Vanderbilt. And our first few updates were good ones. It ended up we were leading 4-1. 4-1 in the sixth inning. And then all of a sudden, Vanderbilt was leaning 4-1. We were ahead 1-0. No, but what am I talking about?
I don't know, honestly.
So Kentucky was leading 4-1.
Yes.
Right.
The bottom of the sixth.
That's right. Yes, 4-1.
Yeah.
And then Vanderbilt, we ended up losing 8-5, okay? That's all that matters. As hard as we tried to believe two out of the three people in the studio, I believed, but not really. I'll just say.
You didn't. You didn't believe. Ted Lasso sign.
Ted Lasso ripped that sign up. That's how I felt. I was not optimistic. Anyway, so we go home after our first round loss. 31-21 overall, three-game losing streak. We canceled the NKU game, which could have negative repercussions, I guess. I don't know. We were very close to not making the NCAA tournament before the game yesterday. We talked to, excuse me, I'm upset, Jeff Drummond about it, who covers baseball, obviously, as AJ does. And we thought they needed to win this game and maybe one more.
Or at least take 2 or 3 in the final series, which they didn't.
Right, with Arkansas.
Yeah.
So now, like everything else around here, we sit and wait.
Yep.
And it'll be a while because these conference tournaments are going on now. Oh, boy. They were D1 baseball had Kentucky as the second to last team in the field in their most recent projection. And Vanderbilt was one of the teams on the outside of the bubble. So if they do well, even after beating us, maybe they, I can't even say that. I'm just saying.
We just wait. Like everything else, we just have to wait now.
Okay. Now, here's something else. Did you happen to see the Knicks game last night?
I did not see.
Or just the highlights?
I watched the rest of the game after, but I did not see the ending live.
We talked about this the day with the OKC Spurs game, which went to overtime, was insane. And then last night we had the Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first game of the Eastern Conference Finals. And all of us, right? The Knicks have had 9 days off. 9 days. OG Anunoby is healthy again. He got all that rest. Cleveland just went through a war with Detroit, 7 games. It's at the Garden. Before the game, they were showing, there were 85 A-list celebrities at Madison Square Garden last night. Every single camera put somebody there. Okay. All right, great. And what happens? I switched back and forth. I turned it off. The Knicks were down by 22 points with 7.5 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
Not in the third period, in the game. 22. They came back. They came back. Jalen Brunson came back.
Good thing it wasn't an Anthony Edwards-led team. He would have gone into the huddle for the Cavaliers and dapped him up and said, hey, great
Seven
game, guys.
7.5 minutes left.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
there's
no way,
Jimmy,
we can come back.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Oh, isn't that weird?
There must be some meme floating around out there with great point, though. Anyway, Jalen Brunson went bat bleep crazy out there with some big threes by a couple of the other guys. They tied it and then ran away with it in overtime. The Knicks did. Ended up winning 115-104.
Outscored them 14-3 in overtime.
They went on a, you ready?
Yeah.
44-11 run in the final 7.5 minutes and overtime. 44-11. And oh my goodness. You know I hate all the talking heads, except Shaq and Barkley. I could listen to those two. All the rest of them. Watching Michael Wilbon, who was at the Garden for the game, as most of them were, on SportsCenter talking about that game was hysterical. I mean, just talk about Cleveland.
Yeah.
And about how it's one thing, okay, your legs give. How about this? How does an NBA coach, the Knicks go on an 18-1 run? No timeouts. Kenny Atkin, he had 4 timeouts remaining. Never called a timeout while the Knicks were going on an 18-1 run. That was, Wilbon really went off on that one. So, of course, now what do you do, Jimmy, in terms of wagering? What do you do? Do you think, okay, well, the Knicks, they just, 9 days is too much to have off. All that rust, and Cleveland felt like they could come in and steal one, and then their legs just came out. But this game, now the Knicks are, they've got it back. The incredible momentum blowout in the Garden coming. Or, because we think that way, watch the Cavaliers steal one.
Yeah.
What do we do?
A lot of the talking heads, if you will. I did hear Iman Shumpert. He said if the Cavs are going to get one on the road, it has to be game one. You got to catch the Knicks when, you know, potentially have the rust. And that's how it was looking. It was like, oh, you can't be that surprised. And that's when everyone gets the, well, which you always have the criticism afterwards. It's like if they ended up winning and blowing them out, it's like, oh, well, it's because they were so rested. That's why OG Anunoby got to heal up. And then the hindsight of, oh, well, no, they were so rusty. That's why they lost. And it's like you had both thoughts mid-game, and then you completely talked yourself out of the rust. And you're like, well, now, see, the legs were fresh. That's why they outscored him 14-3 in overtime. I don't know what happened to James Harden. He had yet another game in the playoffs with more turnovers than field goals.
Oh, and he's now ahead of Kendrick Perkins, that other guy that they keep putting on ESPN.
You don't like Big Perk?
No, I'm not a fan. He's fine, great.
You just have to accept him for what he is. He's the comedic relief.
I do.
Unintentionally,
I do.
I think.
I just think there are other people I'd rather actually hear their thoughts. But anyway, neither here nor there. James Harden, by the way, the memes of this is James Harden trying to guard Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, I mean.
The memes are among the funniest ones yesterday.
Unfortunately, James Harden won't see him because he doesn't hear or see any of the noise.
No.
According to him.
Of course not, and it's a good thing. I'm happy for him because otherwise his brain would explode. And that was the other thing they talked about. How do you keep leaving him? They said, Michael Wilbon said, 10 years ago, James Harden couldn't guard Jalen Brunson. 10 years ago. And you keep leaving him out there on him now? Anyway, I'm happy. You know, as a Knicks, why didn't you text me and say we should make a live bet on the Knicks when they were down by 20?
believe me, I'm mad at myself for not doing it.
That's you. You did it today.
I know. I did with the Reds and Phillies. Didn't work. But that like that's my favorite bet to make last year in the playoffs because we had all those crazy comebacks with the Knicks and who is it that they were playing? Oh, the Pacers. They had a couple of those games where Halliburton had a couple comebacks and all that. Yeah. And this was I blame James. I put him to bed and ended up falling asleep in his bed. It was like for 45 minutes. And by the time I woke up, the game was over.
Oh, you're James.
Yeah.
Not James Harden.
No, not well, okay. And also James Harden. But it was that was right up my alley, that bet. Even if I wasn't watching the game, if I opened up the app and saw that they were whichever team was down, I don't know if I would have done on Cleveland. But if I saw the Knicks were down, so that's what I get.
It's okay. Your role as a dad is much more important.
No, I'm going to hold this against him for at least two more days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, add it to the list of things you're blaming James for.
It's his fault.
Good idea. All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, tonight, OKC and the Spurs. And once again, OKC is a 7.5-point favorite. I think they blow them out tonight.
See, we were talking yesterday. I don't know if that series can have a blowout.
I think one of these games, because they know OKC knows they lose this game tonight.
Uh-oh.
So
maybe Chet Holmgren will decide to guard Wemby for part of this game. And they don't have to put Alex Caruso.
He had a great block to send it to overtime in the last game. Oh, that was one play.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He could have had 43. Holmgren held him to 41. What are you talking about? All right. We'll talk in a little while about Joe Burrow. I like that statement. He said, this is the most talented Bengals team I've been on. Oh, the biggest news of the day in all of sports.
The world, actually.
In the world. And I completely waited a half hour to bring it up. And I think you know why. You go ahead. Tell everybody, because it's the biggest news in the world. Go ahead.
The GOAT is going to be hanging up his cleats at the end of this season. Aaron Rodgers.
Muhammad Ali?
No. Aaron Rodgers, 4-time NFL MVP, Super Bowl champion, is going to ride off in the sunset.
How many times was he a Super Bowl champion?
One time.
Oh, and he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Oh.
In my mind.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Thank goodness you're the only one that has to live in there.
And friend of the show, point. Angelo Carriero, also his GOAT.
Yeah, that's two.
But he did come out and make the announcement that he's going to hang it up after this year.
So this is why you love him so much. He doesn't say anything about whether he's going to play this year until OTA starts. And now he announces a year ahead of schedule
that he's
retiring.
This is why he can't win for losing. If he doesn't say anything and it goes in the offseason, that's, he's selfish again, stringing him along. And now he announces it.
He, at the end of next season, he could say when they get eliminated in the first round, if they make the postseason, then he says, that's it, I'm done, I'm retiring. That would be fine.
I'm waiting for
But instead, now it's the farewell tour.
See, that's what I was just about to bring up. Now the media is going to spin it as, well, he's only doing this so he can get the Derek Jeter treatment everywhere he goes.
Wait, Derek Jeter deserved it.
I'm not saying he didn't, but because he got, you know, the reception everywhere he went the last time he played at a stadium, they would do the whole thing.
Oh, Rodgers will get a reception everywhere he goes. I guarantee you. All right. Oh, boy. We'll take a break. When we come back, Ben Roberts will join us at 5 p.m., Dylan Break, and we'll talk some serious Kentucky offers and who we're looking at and prospects. And then at 5:30, Ricky Saints will join us, and we'll talk about WWE Smack. I can't do it.
That was good.
I could if, you know, but WWE Smackdown. That was kind of an English.
Didn't really like that tone, but.
Yeah. 7:30 Friday night at Rupp Arena. And we'll talk to Ricky about what it took for him to get there to Rupp on Friday night. All of it coming up on Wildcat Drive on ESPN 92.5, 1300.
Discover golf the Kentucky way with the
brought to you by.
There you go. Sorry.
The Lexington area Ford dealers.
Nailed it.
Discover golf the Kentucky way with the Kentucky Golf.
In what we thought would just kind of be an update on maybe Malachi Moreno or maybe somebody else, or what has turned into a kind of a hectic time for our friend Ben Roberts of the Herald Leader in Kentucky.com. And as I told him before we started, we're always grateful for the time he gets to spend with us, not gets to spend with us, that he chooses to spend with us. I guess that's better, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys.
As I was just saying, so normally we think, okay, and you're doing your stuff and you got things going on at home and you get a chance maybe to schedule the release of a column. Is that usually how it works? Because a lot of times it'll say 6 a.m. when something comes from
Yeah.
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 Right.
Yeah. For the daily stories. Yeah. We obviously write them. I'm not waking up at 4:30 in the morning to write those. So yeah, we write them the day before and to go up the next day, unless there's something, incredibly pressing time wise, which we thought, we were clear on one today.
And
then word started trickling out this morning that perhaps the Gonzaga series was over, and around noon, the UK finally went ahead and confirmed it.
Okay. Well, let's start there. So the first column, which as always, these are great. Mark Pope is still playing John Calipari's schedule, and it's a challenge. Before we get to what you just put up a little while ago, as you might have just mentioned, let's start there. Explain to people about Coach Pope and Kentucky playing Cal's schedule.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, as always happens with coaching changes, I'm sure in various places, the schedule that Pope inherited from Cal when he got here was, or inherited at Kentucky when he got here, was largely built by Cal.
Yeah.
Obviously there's the Champions Classic, is a big one that started early in Cal's tenure, and his early success here made Kentucky's inclusion in that an absolute no-brainer. And then Dwayne Peavy, who was a longtime associate AD here and almost kind of the AD for basketball under Cal, he was Cal's right-hand man and dealt with a lot of the scheduling. He was instrumental in building that CBS Sports Classic, which just got extended this year for another 3 or 4 seasons. Obviously, you got the Louisville game. They've got the ACC Challenge, which was the Big 12 Challenge before that. Those two were kind of staples on the schedule, no matter who the coach is. But right before he left, Cal, when it happened, everybody was really surprised. Kind of an impromptu series with Gonzaga. He and Mark Few have been friends for a long time, close friends. And obviously, Gonzaga has trouble getting the big boys to schedule them because they're always good. But then in their own conference, they don't play anybody except for St. Mary's and maybe one or two others that crop up in different seasons. So they're always looking for good competition. So they put that one together for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cal kind of caved to pressure and brought back the Indiana series. But he left having only played 2 games in the Gonzaga series and leaving 4 on the schedule and not playing any on the Indiana series and leaving all 4 on that schedule. So, in addition to it being a difficult schedule, which, as the story points out, both of Pope's schedules so far at Kentucky have been stronger than any schedule than Calipari faced in his 15 seasons here. And a lot of that is due to the rise of the SEC, which is another thing that I think you got to give Kyle some credit for being so vocal about how bad it was when he got here. But it also just leaves you a lot of inflexibility when you're trying to schedule. Like, I know there's some big events that Pope would have liked for Kentucky to have played in these past 2 years that you just can't do because, one, you're going to face perhaps the toughest schedule in the country during conference play. And you've already got these six high profile nationally ranked games on your non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. And one, I mean, you got to throw some cupcakes in there. You just have to. That's the reality of it. You've got to have some games where you can try to work out some stuff against teams that you feel like you can beat, no matter, you know, even if things go wrong. And two, they need those Rupp Arena home days for revenue, for contracts, for all that. And so when you've got the two neutral site classics, and then you've got four other series that are rotating around the country and are, you know, only two of those are going to be home games every year, that's four high profile games away from Rupp Arena. So it just left a lot of inflexibility. That was kind of the basis for the story. And then a couple hours after it posted, word started kind of spreading around that, hey, they might drop the Gonzaga series. And then a couple hours after that, Kentucky confirmed it. So there's one more off the list, I guess.
Oh, boy.
So I guess two-part question. One, has there been a reason as to why they nixed the rest of these games with Gonzaga? And two, what type of team would Kentucky look to fill that void? Would they look for another one of these deals where they find a team that's not in conference to do a, you know, a couple year long back and forth home and home kind of schedule?
Ben, before you answer, I have something I want to, in your story, UK announced Wednesday afternoon that the two programs mutually agreed to discontinue the series. We all know what mutually agreed when, you know, like a coach gets fired, they say, well, it was mutually agreed that they do. Is that the case here? Or did Mark Few and Mark Pope, one of them, go, I'm not playing you? What?
Well, one important note on Gonzaga's end is they are leaving the WCC. This past season was their last year in the West Coast Conference. So they're moving to they're going to call it the Pac-12. Obviously, it's going to look much different, but it's going to be, you know, the hope is going to be it's going to be much, much stronger than the WCC was on Gonzaga's end. They're going to have, I mean, you know, it's not like Oregon State, Washington State are great basketball programs, but they're bigger programs. But they're also going to have Utah State's been really good lately. San Diego State obviously has a great mm-hmm. history the last 15, 20 years. Those two teams are in there, Colorado State, you know, just some bigger names than Gonzaga was facing. It, you know, everybody who follows college basketball knows it was them and St. Mary's. Really, it was them and then a gap and then St. Mary's and then another huge gap to everybody else. So you're not getting much of a challenge. They should get more of a challenge. They should have a stronger overall schedule as a result. Two, as far as the mutual agreement, it's in the contract, basically, that if one side pulls out, they have to pay the other side quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And having it end on an even year like this, where each team has already, quote unquote, hosted two games, even though Gonzaga didn't get any on their home court, it's if you're going to have a stopping point, you want to stop it on an even year to where each team still has one home game left. So they can nix that without, you know, one side having to pay the other. If Kentucky had hosted Gonzaga this year and then tried to nix it, I have the contract somewhere. I don't have it in front of me, but they would have owed, I believe it was a six-figure sum to Gonzaga, which I assume would go into Gonzaga's NIL fund as a result, and maybe come out of Kentucky. You don't want to do that. You'd rather just end it now and figure out what to do with that game. And Jimmy, what I remember your second question. What was the first one?
No, it was just, are there any teams or ideas of who Kentucky would replace us with? Would they look to do the similar type deal with a contract of 4 or 6 years with a home and home? Or would they just fill this in each year with, you know, just random teams?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The problem with getting, you know, I know Pope wants big teams on the schedule. I mean, he's serious when he says that about Kentucky being the gold standard and you know, wanting all the competition, all that. The problem you get into with trying to get somebody in Rupp is, you're almost always going to need an agreement to go to the other team's place. So then you're locking yourself into basically a multi-year series where you just kind of lose some of that flexibility that you've just gained. So It could happen. Obviously, there's a lot of time between now and next season. There's going to be probably 3 or 4 more months until the full schedule is out, or at least 2 or 3 months. So that could happen. But with as strong as the SEC is going to be again next season, it appears, and as strong as Kentucky's non-conference already is, with you got Carolina, you got Kansas, you got Louisville, you got Indiana at the Colts Stadium, and then you've got an ACC team that I think could be Miami, Virginia, possibly Duke. It sounds like on UK's end they've thought it's going to be a road game, and I'm sure ESPN is going to want to match up Kentucky with, you know, a marquee opponent. So You're looking at another top 25 road game there. So just right there with those 5 games, plus the possibility of 9 top 25 teams in the SEC. You're looking at half your schedule as top 25 games. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pope just passes on trying to add another big name this season. Not saying he will. He very well could add somebody. But that kind of gives you, one, there's still that schedule is a top 10 national schedule. No matter, you could play Jacksonville State or whoever, the other 14 or the other, you know, the other however many non-conference games. It's still going to be a really good schedule. But it also gives you some flexibility if Pope wanted to do something like the Players Era Festival that has raked in a lot of NIL funds for these schools that are doing that. Louisville's going to do that this year, and that thing's expanding. You're going to see more events like that that are going to be – these neutral site events are really a spot to kind of rake in this NIL money.
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, play a really good – opponent and what should be a really good atmosphere. So yeah, I mean, it could happen, but you know, if I were him, I'd probably just pass on adding another one. Take your top 10 schedule and see what you can do for that next season.
Just hearing you talk about this the way you just did, we better get Malachi Moreno back, okay? I'm just saying. And we better get Jimmy Milan
Momchilovic.
Yeah, Momchilovic, Jimmy pronounces it perfectly. And everybody else that we can think of, because that's daunting to say the least. Do we have any updates at all? By the way, yesterday, Ben, we had, I guess it was kind of some fun with an Instagram post that Malachi Moreno put with the 2 sets of eyeballs. And, of course, I'm too old to know what that means. And Jimmy and AJ had to explain it to me, and of everybody started, he's coming back. Have we heard anything else? Well, have you heard anything else about Malachi? And I saw one thing and it's a mock draft, so who cares really, but that he had moved all the way up to number 23 on one of the big mock drafts. Any word on Malachi?
Yeah, I mean, the folks doing the mock drafts, who I spoke to quite a few of them over the last week or so, there's a real split. There's no real consensus over his stock right now. You know, some people think this is legitimate talk of teams, you know, really circling him as a late first-round draft pick. Is basically a guy that you could, if you're a team like Boston or L.A. or Cleveland, and you feel like you're going to be drafting in the late 20s again next year, but you think he could be a lottery pick next year, maybe you make him a promise to draft him late 20s this year, give him a good guaranteed contract, and have him, you know, sitting at the end of your bench and developing for a year as opposed to going back to Kentucky. A lot of other people nationally see this as maybe more of a play, a leverage play, that he's probably going to be coming back to Kentucky anyway. I think when he started this process and agreed to the deal he agreed to, I think he left some money on the table, for Kentucky to go out and get some other good players around him. And they have done that. They've got a really intriguing roster, but as we all know, they missed on Tyron Stokes. There's a lot of money earmarked for him. They had a lot. I think they were going to pay Rob Wright more than they ended up paying Zoom Diallo. That's fair to say. They obviously missed out on Donnie Freeman, and they got a couple intriguing pieces at that position. But not as much as they were going to pay Donnie Freeman. So there's still resources there to get a Momcilovic, but also maybe pay Malachi a little bit more than you know he was expecting to get when he entered the NBA draft process. And there's a lot of people out there who feel like, you know, maybe all of this buzz is kind of artificially created to up that price a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I still lean toward he comes back. I think he'll be at Kentucky next season. I think we're all going to have to wait. He had his pro day this week in Los Angeles. He's scheduling more private workouts and meetings with NBA teams between now and then. Really with him, you know, we've had some other guys in the past that we've covered. I remember Hamidou Diallo went until like 11:57 or something on draft deadline night. And he told me, and he told me later that he actually had, I think it was the Knicks, had a workout with the Knicks and was, it ended at like 11 o'clock at night or something. So he's generally undecided until then. Jackson Robinson pulled out and went to bed and didn't tell anybody other than maybe some people at Kentucky. So we didn't know until the next morning on him. I don't think Malachi's going to do that. I think he'll make an announcement at some point.
Yeah.
At a reasonable hour next Tuesday. I could also see him if he gets all the information he needs on both sides, make a decision sooner than that and make a public announcement sooner than that. Yeah. Just because he knows, I mean, he's from here. He's been in the program. He's been around the program. He knows how much Kentucky fans are following this, and he's not the type to kind of string it along just to string it along. I think when he has an answer, he's going to let everybody know what that answer is.
Right. All right. Well, hopefully he has you in mind, and he won't do that. He should know.
Yeah,
he's
got to
let Ben Roberts know, and then, of course, we'll know. Thanks so much, Ben. You're the best, dude, always, and I'll try not to text you over and over and over again. I'll try.
Yeah, no problem. There's plenty of texts coming in, so okay. It's no problem.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
See ya.
You know what he should do? He should jinx it like he did the schedule. Post something about we still know nothing about Malachi's decision, and then boom. Malachi will announce it early. So I think that's what Ben should do.
Oh, boy. We don't even think about that, about how he put something up about the schedule, and then all of a sudden,
what are the chances?
Like 2 hours later, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I loved how he explained it, though. All right, we're going to go to a break real quick, and we'll be back to finish out at the first hour. It's Wildcat Drive here on ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM, brought to you by your Lexington area Ford dealers.
Brought to you by Hicks & Funson, Kentucky Lawyers.
There's an accident on New Circle Road, the Outer Loop at Nicholasville Road. There's also an accident on Nicholasville Road at Marketplace Drive. Otherwise, just your normal afternoon slowdowns out there.
For you, a home equity line of credit from Commonwealth Credit Union can unlock your home's potential. Visit ccuky.org/home equity to learn more. Equal housing opportunity. All loans subject to approval. Call us at 1-800-228-6420 for details about terms and conditions.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Kentucky Sports Live and Local. This is Wildcat Drive with Matthew and Jimmy.
All right. That'll do it for hour number one. I always look at these ESPN headlines, and we'll talk about these more. Of course, the top one. Rodgers says he'll retire after the season. This is it. I'm distraught. Really, I can't.
Because you don't get to watch him continue playing.
I can't. Yeah, that's what it is.
We do.
I can't imagine a world with no Aaron Rodgers. I just can't.
You're kidding, but I don't want to imagine that.
Yeah. Well,
we have an update for Kentucky baseball, not directly related, but sort of for the potential of them making the tournament. AJ, the final for Vandy in Florida?
The final score was 8-3. The 18-ranked Florida Gators destroyed the Vanderbilt Commodores, which keeps Kentucky's head just above water, right where they are for okay. NCAA hopes to go to Omaha.
Okay.
It's the best case scenario we could hope for, is that Vandy didn't go on some sort of magical run.
Right. So that's true. Because, all right, as we said before, now we wait.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll be back with Dylan Brake, and we'll talk some serious recruiting stuff. There's that word again about Kentucky basketball. ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM, brought to you by your Lexington area Ford dealers.
This traffic report is brought to you by its
opportunity for independent agents to make insurance simple for their clients, offering risk management services that range from a renter's policy for your college student to home and auto coverage for your entire family. Houchins Insurance Group assures you that nobody works harder to keep you protected from life's uncertainties.
Reach out to AJ Boss or Zach Bennett at 859-263-2771 to see if auto owner's insurance makes sense for you.
Coming to the historic Kentucky Theater in concert, Marty Stewart, July 16, Patty Griffin, August 4, Graham Nash, October 6, plus the Jayhawks, Judy Collins, and more. All at the historic Kentucky Theater presented by Hybrid Springwater and ESPN Lexington.
At Mashney Law, we protect your rights and defend your future. Whether it's a misdemeanor or serious felony, the government's working toward a conviction. Let's start preparing your defense. Give us a call at 859-484-8775 or schedule a free case evaluation at kycriminaldefense.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
W223 CV Lexington.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. WLXG Lexington, an LM Communications broadcasting station.
It's time for the Wildcat Drive on ESPN 92.5 and 1300. Call or text us at 859-381-1313. Now, here's Matthew and Jimmy.
Welcome in, Wildcat Drive. If you are just joining us now, welcome back if you've been with us for the first hour. In the first hour, we spoke with Ben Roberts about Kentucky basketball scheduling, mostly, with a couple little Malachi things thrown in there. Now we're going to get into the future of Kentucky basketball with our friend Dylan Brake. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Blue Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, or at Bleed B Network. He is, as he says, covering recruiting and scouting for at Bleed B Network and at Next Nation, N-A-T, the number one, O-N. And when I say he's a busy guy, I'm not just kidding around. Hello, Dylan.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's our pleasure. I always say when you join us, I'm not really sure how you do all the things you do following, because now, especially with the EYBL and all these things going on with 2027 recruits, 28 recruits, there's so many things on your timeline that I almost don't even know where to begin. Let's start out with this. Can you tell us a little, this will give people a good example of what I'm talking about. You say, I'm honestly surprised Kentucky hasn't gotten officially involved with five-star Malachi Jordan yet. Talk to us a little bit about him and some of this other EYBL stuff going on.
Yeah. So Malachi specifically is a guy that, you know, he's a 6'7", 225-pound wing, a big, strong kid already, you know, that positional size. He's very versatile. When you watch him play, he's got that three-level game to him. He can step outside and shoot. He's got a really, really, you know, beautiful jump shot. You know, when I get down into the specifics of players a lot, and, you know, when you just watch the ball come out of this kid's hands, you know that he's, you know, he's got that perfect ball rotation. He, you know, his elbow stays tucked. You just know he's one of those shooters. But, yeah, he had a very big session one in the EYBL. And that's when I had originally started hearing that, you know, Kentucky had him on their radar. And going into session two this past weekend in Memphis, the first live session where, you know, coaches could go out and watch, Malachi was atop of their list, I'm told. I know they were in for I think, every single game of his. There's also like one or two other prospects. I know Jason Gardner Jr. is also a teammate of his that they're watching. But yeah, Malachi, like I said, he, in my opinion, I think he's he was the best player of that session one. I think why we haven't really seen, like, you know, going back to that tweet, why we haven't seen him get involved specifically yet. He didn't have the best session two. He was still really effective in all his games. He put up, I still think he averaged like 18, 8, and 4 over three games, which, so he's still well, but that first session he was like at like 28, 11, and 4, you know, so wow. He did take a little bit of a step back. But he's still a great player. Like I said, plenty of time. There's still a few more sessions and Peach Jam to get involved. He's still a kid that I would expect Kentucky to really get. You know, he's originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's playing his this past year Dream City Christian in Arizona. But you know, he's a Tennessee kid. I've talked to him and his dad a lot, and they love Kentucky. You know, his dad actually played college basketball for Tennessee State back in 2005, 2006, I want to say, one of those years we were talking about it. And he told me how he came into Rupp Arena for a game. And, you know, it was the best environment that he's ever been in as a player or as a, a fan of any, you know, any program. You know, he talked that night about how, you know, Jody Meeks put it on him. I think he had a really big game that night. But yeah, it was just really interesting hearing them talk about it from that side of him, you know, being a player, how much, you know, they respect and love Kentucky. They really are hoping that offer comes. And they're really intrigued by, you know, Kentucky overall and the coaches. I want to say that his dad did go in depth about, you know, the coaches, and that it just, what I took away from it is that if Kentucky gets involved, they're going to be, you know, right there. They're going to be right there at the top.
All right. So the million-dollar question that we've all been waiting for is, what is Malachi Moreno going to do? And then we get, just what were your thoughts yesterday when you initially saw the tweet of the two eyeball emojis that Malachi sent out? Like, he has to know what he's doing to Big Blue Nation, right? I mean, he's from here. He grew up as a part of BBN. What are your thoughts now with that updated tweet yesterday?
Yeah, so I agree with you on everything. You know, he knows how rabid this fan base is and how they react, how reactionary they are and everything. You know, I know he had his pro day in LA yesterday, and all 30 teams were out there. If I'm not wrong, I think Coach Williams and Coach Fugger also made it out there, you know, to support him and watch him and everything. My opinion is that you know, he's riling up the fan base, but I think it would be for a good thing. You know, I don't think he would be putting that type of stuff out if he was really leaning the draft. You know, he's just a kid at the end of the day, an 18-year-old kid. So, you know, can you put too much stock into the social media stuff? I don't know. But, you know, the talk from people that I've spoken to, especially yesterday, there was a couple people that I spoke with that were at his pro day yesterday. Now, of course, this is just opinion speculation rolling through, you know, I guess a bunch of people at his pro day, but the rumor is that he's got an agreement with Kentucky to return, and they raised the NIL, and he's going to be back in Lexington. And that was kind of like the talk around the coaches that were all there and the representatives of programs and everything. The way it was kind of worded to me from one person was that, like, Kentucky kind of already knows too. So, you know, we'll see. I can't speak, you know, for sure on that, just what's going around, you know, his pro day yesterday.
Another name that we haven't heard as far as the recruiting trail this go around, is it Savo Drezdjic? Is that how you pronounce the name? The point guard who was previously at Georgia, went overseas to continue playing, and now I guess Kentucky is in talks with his agent. Nothing has been officially made, but do you know much about that situation?
Yeah, so I did reach out to Savo. He did confirm that Kentucky is one of the schools that has reached out to his agent. He listed a few others, but he said that there's like 12 to 15 schools total that's talking to him. I think he said, BYU, Arizona State, Cal. There was a couple other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head, but yes, Kentucky has reached out. How involved they'll get or how involved they'll be, I'm not 100% sure. He said he's not ready to make a cut list necessarily or a specific list of schools that he's entertaining, but yeah, they have reached out. That's confirmed. So, yeah, that's a, like you said, I think that's the correct, the correct way to say his name.
Somebody that did get an offer, as you tweeted yesterday, Lewis, is it Uvo?
Yes, sir. Uvo.
Uvo got an official offer, 2027 four-star center. This can't be right. 6.2 blocks a game? Really?
Oh, yes, sir. That's correct. Yes, sir. And his film is even crazier. You know, he's the type, if you watch it, you know, he's the type of kid on multiple occasions, you know, he'd get a big block and he's literally like pointing at the kid while they're on the ground and like laughing in his face. And then he's running back down the court and, you know, catching it from, you know, the outside the circle and finishing with a big dunk. So, yeah, he had a big weekend, probably one of the top 3 to 5 risers of the entire weekend. I think he went from like unranked on 247 to, I believe he's like top 20 now. He took a significant jump. But yeah, Kentucky did offer. I know like within just the last week, he's gotten like 12 other high major, you know, Arkansas, BYU, Michigan, Miami, all those types of schools. So yeah, he's blowing up. He had a huge session with Knight Riders Elite down there in Memphis. He also had a really big session one, and that's kind of when he kind of creeped onto the stage a little bit. And then of course, once, you know, all the coaches out for the first live session and everyone was able to like put eyes on him, just confirmed what session one showed, is that he's an elite defender, probably the best shot blocker in high school basketball among all classes. And he's just 6'10", you know, he's not like a 7'1" or 7'2" or, you know, not a huge guy like that. Just a 6'10", you know, with really long arms and, you know, knows how to time his jumps and knows how to, you know, get to the highest point and send that ball. He's a very good player. I love his game.
You know what I love now? That a guy can be 6'10", and we say he's not even that big a guy. He's not 7'1 or 7'2". he's 6'10 with long arms. That, I don't know. Right. That to me will always be, but I'm an old guy. So
yeah, it's funny now, you know, because there's a guy specifically in 27, you know, that Kentucky had got involved with a little bit last year. They have not extended an offer yet, but he's told me that they are still reaching out consistently and everything. And that's, his name is Sheriff Malago. And he is 7'4". He's 7'4". And he's a guy that, you know, if you were to search my page, as a, you know, some highlights of him up there. And he's a guy that's stepping out, hitting, you know, like deep, deep threes. And his form looks really, really good. So just one of those, you know, crazy and other anomalies. He's a top 25 player. To, you know, wherever he goes, you know, next year, he's going to be a big impact.
Here's something that is interesting to me, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because you do such a great job covering all these prospects and high school recruits and everything. And then yesterday, Jimmy, right, where we talked about, I don't know, there was that one guy that's played like he's 26.
Oh, yeah.
And he's played 8 years in Europe. I mean, ridiculous. He's been to 4 colleges, played in Europe, blah, 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 traded, all this. And now he's going to come back. How do you, what's your feeling on all that? Do you think this is as absurd as Jimmy and I do?
I do. I agree 100%. And I don't know how sustainable, you know, because it seems like every time the boundaries get pushed a little further and further on, you know, how far can we really get? How far can we really go? You know, and
yeah.
And when you're talking a 26-year-old with that type of experience, yeah, I agree. It's completely absurd. I would imagine there's going to have to be something soon, maybe not this year or next year, but something that's implemented, like I said, depending on how the boundaries get pushed specifically. I would assume that has going to have to be something put into place that has some type of governing or a little bit better, you know, a little better of, you know, the
guardrails,
regulations and rules of what you can specifically do and how far you can specifically go, you know, because of course I think most people would agree, except for the team and the fans of the team that probably signed the kid, that that's just completely absurd at that point, you know.
I saw that you had put something up on Twitter regarding Jamal Crawford, and I feel like it's when we've talked about it this week, where there's been multiple times this offseason, the last few months, where the talk heats up like, oh, Jamal Crawford, Kentucky, and then it just quiets down, and then it ramps back up again. Well, the talks are at least online on Twitter, where people talking about it, where it's, you know, Jamal Crawford reacted to a tweet that Jack Pilgrim from KSR put out about his son getting an offer from Kentucky and all of this. So it's, what's your gut feeling on this as far as Jamal Crawford? Do you think he is going to be on the staff next year? There's just, you know, because he has another job right now with the NBA playoffs going on. Do you think it's just kind of a wait and see approach till the NBA playoffs are done?
Yeah, I think that's probably what makes it, you know, so interesting and so mysterious on, you know, will this really happen or not, is because of, you know, his job obligations that are still running throughout the NBA playoffs. Of course, he came out that one time and it was reported that he had turned it down, but supposedly was still mulling on it, you know, reconsidered it heavily. You know, it's notable that this past weekend in Memphis, he does coach his son's AAU team, NW Rotary, and, you know, Mark Pope and Mo Williams were both on the sidelines, I think, for multiple games of JJ's. And, of course, probably chopped it up a little bit with Jamal, I'm sure. He and JJ was like one of, I think they only watched like 3 2029 kids total, and he was one of them, of course. So yeah, if you had to ask my opinion, I would say yes. I would say he is going to be on staff, just because, and of course this situation could still happen, but I think Mark Pope waiting this long to and not address that open spot, especially, you know, you're getting into the live period, you're an assistant coach short, you know, they had to have Nick Robinson, you know, come out, their director of basketball operations. You know, he was at one of the events, the Under Armour event, you know, recruiting for him. So, you know, you're down an assistant coach already. He's kind of handicapping himself just a little bit in that, you know, aspect. So I think, for him to be willing to do that and prolong this out the way he has, I think that's probably something that he knows that we all don't, that of course can be addressed while he's still under contract with the NBA and working throughout the playoffs and everything. So, you know, and of course maybe it comes out once the playoffs are done and he completely turns it down and then they got to pivot so late. But I would just think, you know, just for Mark Pope and thinking how he would address this staff and address this off season, I don't think he would prolong this wait this far out unless he was like really confident he was going to be able to get that done. So yeah, in my opinion, I do think that Jamal Crawford will probably be on staff next year.
That's a great way to describe it. And I hope you're right. We all hope you're right, because he'd be a great addition.
Right.
As always, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you real soon, because there's still stuff going on that we didn't get to today, but we will very soon. And we appreciate you a lot, your knowledge and your contacts and everything that you're doing. It's great when we get to speak with you. Thanks so much, Dylan.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys again for having me on. And yeah, feel free to reach out whenever. I'll always make time to come on and chat up with you guys. I love doing it.
Great. Have a great rest of the day. See ya.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye. His contact, you know what I like? I like when he just casually mentions how he talked to this one or had a conversation with this one or did this and that. There's so much going on with all of these prospects and things. When does it end?
That's what I was just about to say. Every year it gets amplified more and more. Like, the off season is no longer just an off season. Even for college basketball, like all these college sports, it's free agency nonstop, all off season. In college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA. It's
unbelievable.
It never stops.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Don't forget, coming up at 5:30. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Ricky Saints of WWE SmackDown.
Yeah.
That was a little... Yeah, okay.
That was good.
I'll calm down.
That was good.
But
you going to cut a promo when he comes on?
I might.
All right.
I might. I'll see if he'll let me do it. 7:30 Friday night, Rupp Arena, WWE SmackDown. And Ricky Saints will join us in just a few minutes here on Wildcat Drive, ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM. Brought to you by your Lexington area Ford dealers.
Old Limestone Mixing Water. For those who...
Lexington, if you've been thinking about starting a workout routine or you're new in town and you're looking for a great way to meet people, Burn Boot Camp Lexington is the place to start. Right now, you can try us out with a 3-day free trial and experience what makes Burn Boot Camp different. You'll get access to unlimited camps led by certified personal trainers who meet you exactly where you are, no matter what your fitness level. We also include one-on-one meetings with a trainer to talk about your goals and help create a plan that works for you. Plus, we offer complimentary child watch, so you can focus on your workout while we take care of the rest. At Burn Boot Camp Lexington, it's more than just a workout. It's an amazing, supportive community that pushes you, encourages you, and celebrates everyone. Come see what we're all about. You can find us online at burnbootcamp.com.
Golf, bourbon, thoroughbreds. The Kentucky Golf Trail combines world-class courses with exclusive distillery experiences and VIP horse farm tours, all planned for you. Your ultimate bluegrass golf getaway starts at kygolftrail.com.
Houchins Insurance Group is proud to partner with Auto Owners Insurance, a company that provides opportunity for independent agents to make insurance simple for their clients, offering risk management services that range from a renter's policy for your college student to home and auto coverage for your entire family. Houchins Insurance Group assures you that nobody works harder to keep you protected from life's uncertainties.
Reach out to AJ Boss or Zach Bennett at 859-263-2771 to see if Auto Owners Insurance makes sense for you.
Ready to level up your career? Midway University offers full online, flexible graduate programs designed for working professionals like you. Earn your MBA, Master's in Healthcare Administration, or Master's in Information Systems on your schedule at an affordable price. With supportive faculty and real-world skills you can use right away, Midway makes it possible to reach your goals without putting life on hold. Visit midway.edu and take the next step today. Midway University, your future, your way.
Reds fans in Lexington, whether it's a night out with friends or planning your next corporate event, District 7 Social Hall has something for everyone to enjoy. Duck pin bowling, a golf simulator, great drinks, and the kind of game day energy you just can't get at home. It's the kind of place where good nights turn into great nights. Make your next outing one people will actually remember at District 7 Social Hall in the Distillery District. Reserve now at info@district7social.com.
The biggest, the best, period. Kentucky's Best Tire and Wheel Shop is Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters in Lexington. With over 100 brands of tires and custom wheels in stock, you won't be waiting or settling. Top tires like VF Goodrich, Mickey Thompson, Toyo, and Nitto. Wheels from Black Rhino, Method, American Force, and JTX Forge. Smoky Mountain is full service. Mount it, fix it, balance it, align it. They do it all. Plus, financing from 100 days, same as cash. 1516 Colesbury Circle in Lexington or SmokyMountainTruckOutfitters.com. Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters.
Are you ready to have some fun? Are you ready to get a bite to eat? Are you ready to be a winner? Red Mile Gaming and Racing is ready for you. Play on one of our 900 exciting games. Enjoy live entertainment and check out the Red Bar, our brand new sports bar and lounge. Who's ready for fun?
With Bet365 Early Payout, you win even if they lose. Get paid out instantly when your team goes up big, even if they blow the lead later. Bet365, winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus only. Must be physically located in Kentucky.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app.
Kentucky sports live and local. This is Wildcat Drive with Matthew and Jimmy.
All right. excuse me. Sorry, Jimmy. We have a few minutes before we're going to get to talk to Ricky Saints about WWE SmackDown. I'm saving my voice so I can really
good
let it out.
Yeah, good idea.
When I'm going to be jumping off the top rope. I'm just telling you.
Figuratively.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Just making
Unless
sure.
I can find one around here that I don't think. Anyway, a couple of things that I wanted to mention. Interesting, I think. And they have to do with this game between the Knicks and the Cavs last night. Entering that game last night, teams that were up by 22 in the fourth quarter in the last 30 postseasons were 594-1. 594-1 over the last 30 seasons. If you were up by 22 at any point in the fourth quarter, let alone 7.5 minutes to go. If you want to know how complete a breakdown this was. And the way they did that, with 7:40 left in the final quarter, till the end of the game, the Knicks outscored the Cavs 44-11, 7:40 to go in overtime. The Knicks were 15 of 21 from the field. The Cavs were 4 of 18. The Knicks hit 6 of 9 from 3. The Cavs were 2 for 11. And the Knicks went 8 for 10 from the free throw line. And the Cavs made 1. That's in the last 7:40 in overtime of the game. I've been watching basketball a long time. I'm not sure. I don't remember that one game. They talked about it last night.
I believe it was the Clippers in 2012.
Something like that. That sounds
right. Let me see. Yeah, they rallied from a 24-point fourth quarter deficit to defeat the Grizzlies in 2012.
Oh, well, the Grizzlies. I mean, come on. In 2012?
I believe that was Zach Randolph, I believe, if I remember correctly. Big Z.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I could be getting my timelines way off. I mean, 2012 feels like it was 30 years ago, but also like 6 years ago.
So, No. Zach Randolph had 6 points and 8 rebounds in that game.
I see. I knew it.
Wow. The two of you are unbelievable. I mean, really, that's the kind of stuff I'm here for.
They're really. two and 594 now, a 0.3% win rate.
All right. So I'm thinking the next time a team's down by 22 in the fourth quarter, it ain't going to happen again. Because it only happened one other time in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably a safe bet. Because even with all the comebacks that we saw last year, none of them were that drastic. I know one of them, the Pacers had, they were down 8 with like a minute left. That was one of the comebacks. There was a 17-point one in there.
Those kind of games, I mean, you could with the 3 and all that kind of stuff. But just watching the highlights of the game and seeing all the highlights started with 7:40 to go.
Yeah.
And then you look at the score and oh, they're down 18. Oh, they're down 16. Oh, it's just 44-11 in that period of time. I'm not sure I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
That's beyond. And as we know, it means Cleveland will probably win game 2. So we'll I'll be betting that way, probably.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a short break. And then Ricky Saints will join us. Are you as excited about this as I am?
I am. I'm very excited.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay.
I'm going to temper my excitement. I don't want to be too.
We have to be kind of professional.
Yeah. Here. We got to be cool about it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be cool too. Don't forget to tell them about my acting.
You were an actor?
Okay.
You'll have to explain it to both of us on the air when we come back.
This is Wildcat Drive, ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM, brought to you by your Lexington area Ford dealers.
Brought to you by
ET5.
You're locked into the Wildcat Drive on ESPN Radio 92.5 at 1300 with Matthew and Jimmy.
All right. Welcome back. If you've been listening, welcome in. If you're just joining us now, and boy, are you in for a treat. I can tell you that right now. Jimmy and I get excited occasionally when we have certain guests on, but usually we're pretty calm in our demeanor, I would say. Is that right, Jimmy? Would you say that?
Relatively calm, yeah.
Relatively calm. But today, no. And if you've been listening to us the last couple days, and especially the first 90 minutes of this show, we couldn't wait because Ricky Saints of, should I do it now, Jimmy?
Yeah, when else would you do it?
Okay. WWE SmackDown! Was that good?
That's very good.
Okay. Friday night at Rupp, across the street at 7:30. Ricky Saints is going to be there, and what a story this is. What a story this is. Hello, Ricky.
Wow, what an introduction. It doesn't get any better than that, you know?
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. And this is serious. Jimmy is usually the one that does wrestling stuff. Because I'm an old guy. My wrestling guys were, want to know how far back I go? Yeah. Sailor Art Thomas, Killer Kowalski, Argentine Apollo. Wow. Those are the guys when I was a kid, I'm old. I watched wrestling. But now, this reading about you in the last couple of days has brought me to a whole other level. And here's where I want to start with you. Everybody thinks that, oh, WWE, Rupp Arena, 7:30 Friday night, great. And here are these guys, and here's Cody Rhodes, and here's this guy and that guy. People don't realize the stories of somebody like you who has been doing this a long time. They think it's just, oh, there you are. I want you to tell us what this road for you has been like to get to Rupp Arena on Friday night for WWE SmackDown.
I always tell people this. I always say that it took me 15 years to be an overnight success.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I guess I don't really think about my journey until someone like you tells me, like, hey, that's pretty crazy. Because I'm so into it.
Yeah.
But it has taken me years of grinding on the independents. I used to do extra work for WWE on SmackDown, on Raw, pay-per-views, right? I'm constantly was in the bubble, so to speak, but I just was never inside. Mm-hmm. And so it took years for me to be grinding out there, doing these long drives and going to these smaller shows to try to figure it out. And then getting an opportunity here, getting an opportunity there, just trying to get whatever I could to at least increase my chances of not only being seen, but being signed, mm-hmm. and polishing my act. And, you know, thinking about it too, it was like my first show ever that I ever went to, my first live event I ever went to was a SmackDown show in New Orleans. So I think it's pretty apropos now, like here we are, I'm on the SmackDown brand. We're about to be at the Rupp Arena on Friday, you know, like it's a crazy,
yeah.
It's crazy when you put it together like that.
Yeah.
So for you, Ricky, being from New Orleans, you're 36. I looked it up. I just turned 35. So we're about the same age. We grew up watching, in my opinion, what it's just the greatest era of wrestling ever, the Attitude Era. Who were the guys that you watched growing up? And Matthew and I were talking before, everyone around my age, we look at you. You are living our dream. We grew up at the same time. We all used to watch the Attitude Era, everything growing up, wrestling in the pool and, you know, in the house. You're living it now. So who were the guys that you watched growing up that you kind of incorporate into who you are now?
Easy. And it's not even just incorporating them. I was a big fan of Undertaker, Mankind, The Rock, in that order. Those were my people. Those are who I really loved. And so growing up, obviously, you know, I didn't do any sports. I didn't play any sports. I just watched wrestling. And then I would go outside and I would just wrestle and, you know, just make an adventure. So those type of people really I got into. And then being from New Orleans, I went and started to dig deeper. You had Junkyard Dog that was pretty much a legend in New Orleans. And then Jake the Snake, he had a house up in Slidell, which is not far, for like 30 minutes outside of New Orleans. So I was always surrounded by these figures and people, especially growing up. And you know, New Orleans ain't that well known for wrestlers coming out of there. So it's, I take pride in it now, especially going from being a kid and watching those people and now being the one that is on SmackDown that people can turn on and be like, oh, that guy, you know, Ricky's one of us. He's from New Orleans. We love that.
You know, Ricky, and I meant this when I said this, when I looked you up because I wanted to get to know you better before we spoke about you, there are all these levels. You mentioned it briefly, but levels of wrestling.
Yeah.
We talk about the English Premier League on this show. There are seven tiers before you get to the Premier League in soccer.
Yes.
Wrestling has, I had no idea about the things that you talk about, all these different levels you had to go through. And you just said it. I can't imagine the drives in a car of trying to get to some of these places. I just can't imagine it.
It's insane. It's insane when you, I remember driving from St. Louis up to Canada. I remember driving from Austin to St. Louis and doing that twice in a month, back and forth. Like I've driven all over the country and it's all because of one thing that I wanted, sleeping in my car, sleeping on couches. Like that's the type of stuff. And that's honestly the Premier League. There's seven tiers of them. That is the perfect example of what wrestling is. A lot of people don't understand that it goes a lot deeper. And, you know, these independent shows, then you have shows that are bigger than those independents, and then it just keeps tallying up. So, yeah, it is crazy when you have to explain it, and it's so hard. I always try to tell people it's like, a comedian. They go around. They do the shows.
Yeah.
Some of them are good. Some of them are not good. Yeah. Then you end up, you know, on an HBO special.
Right. But here's the other thing that wrestling has that none of this other stuff has. The physicality of what you're doing all the time is, okay, you're doing something and then you got to get in your car and drive back home to where every bone in your body, don't tell me your bones don't hurt with the stuff you do.
Listen, I'm waking up eating turmeric and fish oils just so I can get through the day. But imagine that you have a match and you get in the car for 4 hours or you get on a plane ride for 3 hours and you're scrunched up and you're just doing that landing. Then you got to go and work out. It's a lot to it than what you just see on TV. And that's fine. Like I'm built for it.
Yeah, you are.
Some people aren't. That's a difference.
I'm not. I can tell you that.
I saw that you were on Cody Rhodes' podcast. I think it was last summer. It might have been. Yeah. But there was a moment in there where he told you that, you know, it just, you kept showing up. And that's part of making it in the business is just you keep showing up. And like you said, grinding through the lower levels and just everything there, showing up and just continuing to do that. What was it like when you made your debut on the main roster, WWE SmackDown, a couple weeks ago, getting in the ring with Cody for your first match, just the emotions, everything around, just all of it encapsulating together?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to really put into words because I haven't fully processed it. You know, I'm kind of weird. I'll be honest with you. I accomplish a lot of goals, right, that I make for myself, but I don't really get to sit in it until a month or a year later because I go, okay, cool. I did it. My body is so used to just being in motion. I think I did take a little bit of time to myself that night to really reflect and be like, wow, this is a long time coming. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I made my debut with another company, AEW, and it was against Cody. And I thought it was so poetic that making my SmackDown debut against Cody again was, I couldn't have asked for anything better. I really couldn't have asked for anything better or predicted anything better. And so I hope, and I really do think that was a good introduction for people, especially for those who are coming out to the show on Friday at the Rupp Arena. Ticketmaster, I just wanted to say that Ticketmaster is where you can get those tickets. Mm-hmm. I really hope that those people are like, wow, I've never seen Ricky before, but I love him. He's cool.
I can tell you, again, because of the reading I've done and on Twitter, and I would tell people, just go to Wikipedia and type in Ricky Saints. And I'm telling you, you will be amazed. There's like 8 pages of stuff on you.
I'm surprised. I haven't been on there in a bit.
Oh, I'm telling a lot. You, it is unreal. It details everything. I mean everything here. Professional wrestling career, professional wrestling style and persona. We're going to get into that in a minute, too. Personal life. I haven't looked at that one. Filmography. Now, wait. Hold on. Jimmy, do you have something you want to say to Ricky now?
If you don't know Ricky, Matthew Lawrence was a very accomplished actor in his day. Eddie and the Cruisers, Beverly Hills 90210. He was on Saturday Night Live with Eddie Murphy in a couple skits. So Matthew's been around.
A couple skits. I was on for a year.
All right. Okay. He was on Saturday Night Live for a year. Okay.
Yeah, so, come on, give it a little credit.
Yeah, so Matthew's got, he's cut his chops in acting over the years. So go ahead, yes. Matthew.
Okay, so there's the buildup there. So I'm looking through all this stuff, and then I see something about not only is Ricky Saints bursting on the wrestling scene with WWE SmackDown, he's an actor also. And I'm thinking, okay, well, these guys, you know, they do guest shots and
yeah.
But they're. So I watched the scene that you did on a show called Wild Cards, and you were really good. And I'm not just saying this, you were really good. And if you want to know how much people love you, we always talk about just read comments of things and idiots say different.
Of course,
I scrolled down those comments. And I'm telling you, people love you. The comments had me laughing about how great it was. And get the Rock off the screen and just put Ricky up there. Now. That I was very impressed. I'll just say that.
I appreciate that. I will tell you this. Acting is very hard. And I took it very seriously. I took a bunch of classes when I actually... The way that it worked out, just so we're clear real quick, is that I auditioned on a Tuesday and it needed to be done for Wednesday morning. So I really had no time to prepare, especially because I had a show on Tuesday. Okay. And then by that Friday, I found out that I got it, not thinking that I would. And it was a great cast. It was a great location in Vancouver. It really, I loved acting. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. You know how it is. You do something and you think you sucked at it. That's kind of where I left off leaving Vancouver. I said, nah, I'll try it. I'll be good next time.
No, you are really good. And I'm not just saying that, too. And I did a lot of stuff in Vancouver. That's another great city.
Beautiful place.
Great city. I mentioned this wrestling style and persona.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you consider your persona and your wrestling style?
You know, that's a very hard question, because when people do ask me, I go, I don't know, I'm just me. There's a lot of wrestlers, right? They'll say, yeah, I'm just me turned up to 1,000. Well, but you're a boring person as is. you're already boring. You're turning that up, it ain't doing nothing for me. I honestly think I'm a ball to be around, so I just put it that way. The best way to explain it is, if you like me, you like me. I like you. If you hate me, I hate you. You know, that's kind of where I flow with it. And I'm just that's a kid great. From New Orleans, so I just think about that. And that's you go to New Orleans and then you watch me or hear me and then you go, oh, I get it. Like, that's just that.
Oh, yeah.
Hard to
I've
explain.
I've been to New Orleans a lot, by the way, too.
Yes.
And what you're saying, Jimmy, make a sign for the studio that says what Ricky just said. If you like me, I like you. If you hate me, I hate you. Just put it up on the wall.
So
that's good.
I do want to get into a little bit of what's happening inside the ring. WWE SmackDown Rupp Arena, 7:30 on Friday. Get your ticket to Ticketmaster. I just want to get into a little bit of last week. You and Carmelo Hayes, and what's the deal with Charles Robinson? What does he have against you? They said you were using leverage on the top rope. And then Carmelo Hayes uses the same leverage, doesn't get coincidentally seen by Charles Robinson. What is going on?
This is what I'm saying, man. This is what I'm talking about. And you let me tell you something. I'm new, but I'm not new, okay?
Yeah.
I don't understand this, like, Why are you watching everything that I do? Just watch the shoulders. All you have to do, eyes on the shoulders. That's the purpose of the referee.
Focus.
Make sure that 1, 2, 3 happens. This whole foot on the ropes thing, I don't get it. I don't understand how we allow, you know, rules for thee, not rules for me. That's what's going on here. And I've ran it up the pole, the chain of command about Charles, and we need to get some more eyes on it, because I can't just have one ref try to dictate a match to mine. I need two.
We Jimmy and I talk a lot about officials on our show in every sport.
Yeah.
Anybody running this stuff, we have problems with them. And if you can find out where Charles Robinson is going to be Friday during the day, I'd like to go have a word with him.
Yeah, I need a committee. I need a petition, because this is, I'm not a guy that's just going to sit back and take it. You screw me over once, that'll be the last time. So that's not a threat to Charles Robinson, just so we're clear, because then I'll get fined. But I just
we don't want that too.
We need all right.
Jimmy, is there anything else you wanted to? Ricky, this is great, and this won't be the last time you do
it. I hope not. Bring it to the studio.
I did want to ask, just more of like a general question, what's the best advice you've gotten from someone that's been in the business, just as far as your career? It could be life advice. It could be inside the ring, outside the ring. Is there some advice, or maybe a person that is you've kind of leaned on that's been there for you the most?
Well, I will say this. Like, I've gotten a lot of great advice, right, that I've used out throughout my life. One of them being that sometimes success it goes at the rate of an interim, right? And so it's always gonna be this for you. It's never gonna be, you know, like that. But I will say this from my own personal experience, and the advice that I have fallen into is the fact that everything just works itself out. I always believe that throughout every part of my career, every part of my life, everything just works itself out way better than you could have predicted. And I lean on that to this day. I truly, fully believe it. Like, no matter, you could be in the worst position right now, I promise you, that is not rock bottom for you. It can only get better. If it feels like that's the worst place that you're at right now in this moment, now it can only get better. It can only get better from there.
There you go.
'Cause it works itself out.
And Jimmy knows that I don't just say this lightly. This is one of my favorite segments we've done on the show. It's been great seeing you and talking to you. Friday night's a big deal. The rest of everything you do is a big deal. And we'll be in touch with you soon, because it would be great to talk to you and find out how things are going with you. Thanks so much, Ricky.
You guys are great. This was perfect.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you, Ricky.
We'll see you. All right. Take care. Peace. Wow.
That was awesome.
I mean, wow. That's all I got to say.
I'm just glad I was here for this one, because when we had Karrion Kross on, I missed it. Of all the shows for me to not be here, I had to be here for one time. We had a WWE superstar on the show.
Yeah. And how great that we actually got to Zoom with him and talk to him.
Yeah.
It's so great when we get a chance to do that. I'm very thankful for technology in times like that.
Yes.
Don't forget Friday night, 7:30. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. All right. Anything else we should go into before we wrap this up today? Let me just check, as I always do. Oh, wow. By the way, if you haven't heard, Reds 9, Phillies 4. How about this? The Phillies record is now 25-25, Jimmy.
Huh.
The Reds are 26-24. Now, of course, the Phillies lost like the first 20 games of the year.
Yeah, and they
got Mattingly.
They were historically bad.
Yes. But, okay. This is, a big victory for us. I'm not going to tell you what the D-backs are doing to the Giants right now.
I don't need to know. It's fine.
Well, you don't care. You keep telling me you don't care. So I won't say anything.
There's not a lot of hope to have if you're a San Francisco Giants fan right now. I mean, it was cool. Yeah. Hey, they hired Tony Vitello, the college coach. We'll see. The only hope I have is that Buster Posey, one of the greatest Giants of all time, is in management now. He's what, you know, he's making these calls, he's making the decisions. So you just kind of got to have to trust.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you just got to have blind faith, but yeah. It's a long season anyways, you know.
Yeah. We'll revisit this in I don't know, a month or something. By the way, I think this is interesting. The Las Vegas Raiders, the head coach, I think, is that the new guy, Kubiak, right?
Yeah, the offensive coach. Coordinator, yeah.
Offensive coordinator.
Well, he was the offensive coordinator for Seattle.
He's the head coach. Yeah. He says Mendoza has been as advertised. How about that, Jimmy?
Whoa.
That's ESPN.com headline below Rodgers talking about
I do like what they did with the schedule release with him and Kirk Cousins. I don't know if you saw it. They basically recreated the entire Step Brothers movie with the two of them. Incredible acting work by both of them. I mean, they're the same person. It's so weird to watch. Like that.
That's so funny.
It's ironic that when he was in college, everyone compared him to Kirk Cousins just because he's always happy, smiley, he's Mr. Positive.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're in the same quarterback room. It's going to be the nicest quarterback room that the NFL's ever seen.
And the funny part of it is, it's in Las Vegas.
Yeah, of all the cities. They have each other, though.
That's good, though.
Now, I do
while
know
everybody
from,
else,
from what Mendoza said, he'll go out and have some beers with the guys. Like he's
really?
Yeah. When you talked about his time in Indiana, he's a part of the locker room. He's not one of those where everyone goes, it's the locker room and Fernando Mendoza. Like he's in there mixing it up, and maybe he can hang around Max Crosby a little bit, maybe get featured on his next album. I don't know.
I want to see him with like two sleeve tattoos.
They'll put all the chains on Kirk Cousins and then they'll tap Mendoza up.
I want to see Mendoza go to a tattoo parlor with Max Crosby.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to watch that?
That's what we need. Right? We need off-season content.
I'm going to call them and maybe I should trademark. Anyway. All right. That'll do it. What a terrific show. Thanks to Ben Roberts, Dylan Brake, and, of course, Ricky Saints for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow on Wildcat Drive, ESPN 92.5, 1300 AM, brought to you by your Lexington area Ford dealers.